flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls. So, TAMA, you heard about Manscaped?
Oh, come on now, Ross. Of course I have, man.
I figured you'd hear about Manscaped. Everyone's got to hear about Manscaped. Look, if you don't want your partner thinking your dick smells evil and you want them calling you Bone Soldier one more time, I see you laughing at that, Tama. I know. We've all had that moment where your partner's like, you know, your dick's a little evil. If you don't want that evil dick, then you got to get Manscaped. Manscaped has a brand new electric trimmer. It's their third generation trimmer. They call it the Lawnmower 3.0. It's got a cutting edge ceramic blade. It's not going to cause any of those accidents that you don't want in a place where things have to be very careful. It's got a battery that's going to last you up to 90 minutes. You can take your time. You can trim as long as you need to. It's got water resistant technology. Groom in the shower, groom at the beach, groom under a waterfall, groom wherever you need to. It's got an LED light so you can see what you're doing. You don't have to work blind. That is not a place you want to be working blind. And let's not forget about the charging stand. You can show it off. It can look proud. It can look. It can show it. Make a conversation piece. Because let's face it, it's nice to look at, and it makes people.
Use it as a microphone.
Huh? Exactly. You can start singing karaoke. You can start. You can finally lip sync for your life with Manscaped. Trim that junk ears. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand, first ball, first whatever.
And look, when Ross says trim your junk, he means trim your junk, okay? Now look, you may have heard about Manscaped from all over the place, all right? But ain't nobody, and I mean ain't nobody, gonna give you that deal that Thomas Island is about to give you. All right, not only do you get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAMA at manscaped.com, if you're one of the first 10 people to use the code, we will send you a Thomas Island prize pack that includes Thomas Island goodies and a little something special for me. All right, a prize pack alone is worth the price. All you have to do is use our code TAMA. Screenshot your order confirmation and tweet or Instagram us at Thomas Island. That screenshot, and then all good from there. You win. That's it. We'll pick it. Pick 10, okay? So it's that easy. Remember, 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TAMA and act quickly if you want that prize pack. Treat yourself, and your balls will thank you.
All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us here on ThomasIsland.com. That's not it, is it? This is Thomas Island Podcast. But you can go check out our merch on ThomasIsland.com and get your summer drop right now, okay? If you wanna liven up your closet, go ahead to ThomasIsland.com and get your summer vacation. That's another plug for our summer gear here. But check this out this week.
Ross, man, come on, man. How you doing, bro? I love it. It's a good save because it's a good collection. But it's been an interesting July 4th weekend. How's your vacation weekend been, Tama?
Oh, it's good. I'm actually in the middle of vacation right now. Well, actually, I'm at the end of my vacation. I decided to, on a last minute whim, grab my wife, my two kids, and just go straight to the beach. And we grabbed a hotel. And it was just last minute, man. Decided to do this, and it's been great. I'll tell you, I've been home now for 5 months. Can you believe that? 5 months.
5 months. It's it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it also feels like it's been forever. It's this very it's a very weird time.
Yeah, man. My daughter was born during the beginning of this pandemic, so New Japan gave me a month off. And then, so I took that month off, and then when my daughter was born, we came out, and it was the that when we came out, my daughter was born at the beginning of the pandemic, so we were everything was on lockdown. So that just added. Now I haven't done nothing. We haven't gone nowhere. We've been at home on Tama's Island doing workouts, home workouts, and all kinds of things at home. So this right here today, this weekend, July 4th weekend, is the first time we've stepped out of the house and went on vacation. And hit it. Oh man, what
It's got to be freeing, right? Relaxing to finally be out
oh my
in
goodness.
different set of air.
Yes. I found out, we've talked about this on the happy hours on the pay on Thomas Island Patreon, that I'm going back to work this week, and
There you go.
I'll be flying into LA. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, I can't go back to work without having a vacation. How am I going to have all this time off? And I've been on lockdown. So I told my wife, I said, let's go, pack your shit. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Let's grab the kids. What I didn't take into consideration, I've never gone on vacation with two kids. I've gone on vacation with one, but not with two. You got to really prepare. You
Yeah.
gotta,
Especially when they're that young. I mean, your kids are not exact that you gotta really keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I got a 3-month-year-old and a 3-month-year-old, a 3-month-old and a 2-year-old. Yeah, so preparation to get this going, this weekend going, but we did it. We out here at the beach. And the great thing about living here in Florida, I'm right next to the beach, man. I'm only like 30 minutes away, but still, man, you still gotta like plan ahead. And it's been great. My son has been playing all day on the beach. We've been out on the beach since like 2 p.m. and we didn't come in until probably like 6. I'm burnt. I'm crisp, bro. I'm brown. My true color, huh?
As hey, that's what the July 4th is supposed to be all about, getting that sun, making those memories.
That's right, man. How about you? Did you do anything, man? I don't know in Chicago. What's
I
going on in Chicago?
listened to a lot of fireworks. I couldn't really see them, but I listened to them from somewhere across the cemetery. But I had a nice, very low-key July 4th weekend hanging with the dog. Your boss over at New Japan was nice enough to give us like a week break of covering the New Japan Cup. They did the semifinals on the 3rd. I've had all of
That's right.
July 4th weekend to recover, and by July 11th, when the finals come up, I'll be rested and refreshed and ready to watch some
There
more.
you go.
But yeah,
There you go.
it's been a good weekend. The New Japan Cup's been rollicking along. Obviously, July 11th, we're going to see Kazuchika Okada facing off against Evil. The winner will go on to take on Tetsuya Naito for not only the IWGP Heavyweight Championship but also the IWGP Intercontinental Championship at Dominion in Osaka-jo Hall. What do you think of that final? Because last year Okada had to deal with Sonata. This year he's got to deal with Evil. Do you think Okada can do two in a row?
Oh, it would be too easy to say yes. It would be
Yeah.
too easy. I'm an underdog kind of guy, and though Evil is not on my team, I have to give it to Evil. I have to give it to Evil to maybe get, to move forward. But that's Okada has proven himself over and over again. I feel like it's Evil's time to prove himself. What do you think?
Oh, I'm with you 100%. Evil has been showing off a very different side of himself this tournament. Even his match with Sonata on the 3rd, he's really laying in. He's living up to that name, Evil. I mean, he injured. He's been injuring people. There was a ref stoppage in his match with Yoshihashi, as he just kind of aggravated Yoshihashi's knee injury.
That's right.
And Okada has been. I don't want to say Okada's holding back because he's Okada. He never holds back, but he hasn't been using the Rainmaker. He's been relying on a grounded kind of submission Cobra Clutch move.
Cobra Clutch.
And so if evil is bringing this giant force with him, and Okada has been this reluctant guy so far, I don't think it's going to be Okada's night. I think he's really going to have to bring a lot to beat this new evil.
I like it, man. I know you've been putting in a lot of time, man, waking up early, going to bed early. Well, I don't know, man. I see you tweeting at 2 o'clock in the morning, bro. Do you ever sleep, man?
Oh yeah, no, I'll get a nice little nap until about like the events have been starting at 5 a.m. Chicago time, so I'll sleep until like 4:30 in the morning and then start tweeting at like 5 a.m. Go back to bed at like 8 a.m. and then I can go about my day. It's the Da Vinci schedule where you just take multiple naps throughout the day instead of one long sleep.
Touche, man. Touche. Ah, I like that. So man, okay. All right. Now let's say we'll go before. I'm gonna ask you two questions. Let's go with this side right now. If Okada goes forward, all right, mm-hmm. Who's he going against?
Naito. No.
All right. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
I am never going to say no to an Okada Naito match, so I'm for it. I don't know. I think ultimately I would be more interested in the Okada versus Evil versus Naito, just because we haven't seen that. It's usually reserved for like a G1 climax, and so I feel like there's more I haven't seen there. Whereas with Okada Naito, it's more about the result. You know what I mean? Because like with Naito versus Evil, it's about the match. It's about what it brings out of the two of them. With Okada versus Naito, it's just another chapter in their long storied history. So it's two very different matches, but neither one I'm going to really say no to.
Okay, good take. Yeah. Okay, well, the second question was going to be about Evil, but you already answered that in one go. So
okay.
All right, I like that. What do you think of Okada and Bone Soldier's match?
I liked it. I think Okada versus junior heavyweights is always an interesting pairing, just because I feel like, especially guys like Ishimori, Hiromu, guys who've kind of run roughshod over the, having that kind of size challenge is tough. Because like Ishimori is used to being the strong guy in the juniors. Like he's not the biggest guy in the world, but the man is made of muscle, and so he's not used to having that that size disadvantage. And so that always is a nice little twist, to put it.
I like it.
To put it nicely. I mean, he fought Val. He was another one where he didn't submit to Okada. The ref kind of had to call the match, and so like he fought valiantly, if nothing.
And now you know. Ishimori's never a guy that uses, you know, us in Bullet Club, we have a reputation to use outside shenanigans. Mm-hmm. You know? And Ishimori has been a guy who's never really been about that. Am I right? Right?
Sometimes in the tag matches I'd see some shenanigans, but Ishimori doesn't seem to really rely on Bullet Club as much as some of the others in the group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I was gonna go with someone with that, but I think that's squashed now because
because where'd you want to go with that? Because like it has become, I don't want to say it's become a thing, but Bullet Club has been interfering in a lot more matches, and so is that a strategy shift, or is it just kind of going back to your basics?
Well, so you know. We've been doing that since the beginning of Bullet Club, mm-hmm. and that's 2013. That's 7 years. Yep. Now, what is your thoughts on us moving forward? How can we? What is it if we continue on this route? Are mm-hmm. we kicking it? You know, are we beating a dead horse? Are we kicking a dead horse? What are your thoughts on that? Because when I was saying about Ishimori, mm-hmm. he doesn't use much of Bullet Club help, but mm-hmm. I do. I use a whole lot of shenanigans, a lot of the boys. Jay White mm-hmm. uses Gato.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on Bullet Club moving forward and how they can change but still be a menacing heel? Now, still be a hated heel. How can we make this a thing without repeating the same tactics?
I mean, I feel like the easy answer is switching up who interferes, because obviously there are guys who are seconds to people like Gato with Jay White, Jado with you, and with Tonga, and so it does become almost expected. In Jay White's match, you're going to see Gato at some point. When I see you and Tonga come out, I know I'm probably going to see Jado at some point in the match. I think if you want to make it more menacing, when I'm expecting to see Jado out of nowhere, Ishimori out of nowhere, you know, someone, make it feel like you guys have some sort of not supernatural, but you have better access to the building than guys like LIJ, guys like Suzuki-gun, because you can get them from any entrance. You know what I mean? It becomes that kind of like, it almost feels like you're Black Ops or something like that, because you can just, all of a sudden, your guys can come in at any point from anywhere.
Ross, you're a smart man, man. You know that?
Thank you.
I like talking to you. I like, this is, you know, you said before you like talking to me when we talk about levels and shit. Yeah. I like talking to you when we talk about this, because, you know, that's some good ideas, man. I like that.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, no, because I maintain that interference is a good old fashioned wrestling. It's, you know, it's as wrestling as a headlock to me. And so it just becomes how you use it. How do you shock people? How do you not just shock people? How do you scare people? Make people looking over their shoulder because they don't know where you're going to come from.
Got you. Okay. So speaking of old school wrestling from the past, here we are today. We're going to talk about what we think, not about the past, but what the future, okay? The future. Ross, the future, what is it that we want
to... I believe that what you wanted to talk about this week, Tom, was the future of the sport of professional wrestling.
The future of the sport of pro wrestling.
Where, because you've often talked about this as a great resetting period. So where can we go from here? That's what we're going to talk about this week.
That's right. Okay. We're going to take a break right here. Guys, hold on to your seat. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the future of the sport of pro wrestling.
Guys, if you've enjoyed listening to Thomas Island Podcast, there's more for you at the patreon.com/Thomas Island.
That's right, Tama. If you've been having a good time on the island, you want to find a way to get more involved, you want to maybe ask some questions, maybe you want to hang out with Tama himself, head on over to patreon.com/Tama's Island. We have an exclusive Facebook page where you're able to ask questions, you're able to talk about what's happening in New Japan, what's happening in the world, what's happening with Tama. We've got bonus episodes. If you want to see every episode of Tama's Island, not only early, but in bright video where you can see what Tama's wearing, you can see what I'm wearing, you can find out who's having a bad hair day. Head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. If you get the Islander tier, we have a happy hour every week on Zoom at both 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. They're always a fun time. And starting in August, for 1 week a month, we are going to pick a subject suggested by a Patreon subscriber. So if you head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island, you're going to be able to suggest a topic. You're going to be able to ask some questions. You're going to be able to have a good time. So please head on over there, subscribe, and hang out.
patreon.com/Thomas Island.
Okay, guys, we're back, and this time we're going to change it up just a little bit. We're going to bring in a third partner, third co-host. We're going to how does that go? Is that a co-host or trip host or triple host or what's that? How's that go? A double host or
he could be our co-host works. I mean, like we're all in the same.
Our co-host.
Hey.
Can I just be like the hype man?
You can be Flavor Flav, all right?
Yeah, there we go.
Guys, we're gonna bring in Steve K, and for those that do not know, Steve K has been my dude. I've been my right hand man be my business partner. We're the ones that put together. He's the one to help us put together the Bullet Club Block Party, the first and second. And smart dude, comes from great family. He's a Jew, but that doesn't mean anything.
now you got people after me.
Nice. I'm a Jew too. Remember the tribe.
Hey, but I like to have Jewish guys on my side, man, because they're smart guys. All right? They're very smart guys.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Hey, let me, all right, before we move forward, I'm going to say, look, I partnered up with Steve here, and I said, we're going to create a business. I said, we're going to call it the Jew Tongue and Connection, all right? And that's what our business is, the JTC, the Jew Tongue and Connection.
And it's JTC Event Entertainment is an incorporated company in Florida, and people don't believe that's what it means.
The minute I heard that, I was like, okay, that explains why they brought me in. They have to keep it on brand. We have to.
Hey, man, I'll tell you. Look, what Steve here has a great background. He went to the college of man, hold on, Steve. Man, you tell him all the smart stuff, bro. Go ahead.
I mean, the school stuff's one thing, but yes, I do have an MBA. I got that at Cornell. I also have a bachelor's degree from the George Washington University. But more importantly than that, I was the entertainment manager for 5 years at the Hard Rock Hotel in Las Vegas.
There you go. Yeah. And that's how we came together here. Now, Machine Guns linked us up. Machine Gun Carl Anderson hooked us up, and we've been working together from ever since. So, smart dude, great dude, comes from a great family, and that's me, man. I'm all about a good family here, and Steve is a good dude, and I could tell that about Ross. Ross, I'm not trying to leave you out, but everybody already knows.
You'd like my family. They're good people. All in good time, though. All in good time. I guess,
but they're both from the Upper East Coast. Mm-hmm. All right, that's New York, New Jersey fellas, man. So they're the good fellas right here. These guys here, they're good fellas. but that's the Italian mob. But my good fellas are Jewish guys. All right. Am I overdoing it? All right.
Come on, you're fine.
What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about Steve. That is the topic of the week. Is Steve?
I'm ready.
I figured I'd do a little rundown for everybody so they know here. But everybody, I call him Scuba Steve at times, a lot of times when we're having fun. But Steve, Ross, we're going to get together here. We're going to talk about the future of the sport of pro wrestling and what we think, what we like, what we want to happen in this great sport of ours. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because on our happy hours on Tama's Island, now, for those who don't know, patreon.com/Thomas Island. You can come join us on these happy hours on Fridays. We talk about a lot of things, ideas, things that's going on in the pro wrestling world. Just it's a great time. It's a great community. Come join us. We talk about this. So this is how this subject came about. And the future of pro wrestling. What? The future of the sport of pro wrestling. I'm sorry. Now, where do we start? How do we start this? What do we say?
Steve,
do us the honors, Ross. Yeah.
They hear from me every week. Let's let Steve start this off.
Well, I think that thank you guys and thank you for the warm welcome. I'm thrilled to be here with you guys. I think there's a lot of things that are going very well right now. I think that the fact that content is so easily accessible to people is a great thing for the business of professional wrestling. The fact that people can watch content from any company at any time, anywhere in the world. But with that comes the necessary steps of change. And one of the big things that we've talked about within the Patreon is that faction warfare has worked so well for New Japan, but it's reached a certain point where it can be a lot more. And when we talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, we talk about the sport of professional wrestling and how we can integrate the ideas of sport back into the world of professional wrestling. And one of those things is developing a combine system or a way to cultivate more talent into the faction warfare. And I think that's something, a very interesting place to start.
Okay, yes. Now when you say like a combine system, do you just mean like independent wrestlers and rookies, or are we talking like you can go like high school, like Pop Warner, like we talking like a system underneath the whole of professional wrestling?
Well, I think that it has to start with people that are trained. I think okay. that there's so many people who are looking for the right way of getting their start. The dojo system is a fantastic way of doing so. But you are very limited in the people that are teaching you. You have, you know, the dojo mat, the people that are really instructing you. By integrating the factions into that, you get a whole team helping you. So you learn not only the dojo way, but you learn perhaps the chaos way or the bullet club way. So the idea would be taking guys that are new in their career, guys fresh from excursion, young boys, people that have never been to New Japan before that are trying for the first time, and have like a pro day. When you have high school basketball, you do the McDonald's All-American game, where you sit in front of a bunch of scouts. You could have each faction has a scout, and they get to watch these matches. You could do them early on New Year's Dash in six-man tags. And that be like the start of the year. You start scouting who you want to add to your faction. And it's a great way to freshen everything up and give some identity to new people. That's just an idea I have, but I want to hear from you guys.
Ross?
I think there needs to be some kind of I think that for too long wrestling has been working on telling stories the way that television tells stories instead of telling stories the way that sports tell stories, if this makes any sense. Because like
yes.
when I watch WWE or I watch AEW, what I see is a narrative. I see a plot. I don't see a series of wins and losses building to a moment. Because you can still have a story told through wins and losses, but we've become so focused on one type of storytelling, the arc, the hero's journey, the three act structure that you will find in pretty much any like 20-minute sitcom or any 45-minute drama. But wrestling isn't that kind of show. It's a sport. It is ultimately a sport. It is ultimately a show of athleticism. And so if you can ground the storytelling back into those wins and losses, I'm not talking about like a ranking system, but just literally when someone's winning, you can invest in them. When someone's losing, you can ask why. It creates opportunities to tell more grounded stories than just sort of this guy will lose his job if he loses. You know what I mean? It doesn't need to be life and death with every storyline. Sometimes a storyline is just, hey, this guy hasn't been winning a lot. Maybe this guy could win one, or you know what? It's like that's a good example is like Yoshihashi. Yoshihashi has been in New Japan for almost a decade, if not, and he's never won a single title ever. But it creates this fandom behind him because they want to someday see him win. It's like Susan Lucci with the Emmys. It's like Heath Slater or Barry Horowitz or whatever. You want to see it happen. And that's all been told. That none of that is a plot. That's all just told by the results, by the way his matches have gone. And I think if you can really ground it back into that, I think there is a fan base that will just absolutely devour it. They're starving for it.
Yeah, I agree with both of you guys. I think you both hit it there, your perspective. Coming up the dojo way, you know, before I even went to the dojo, I don't even want to call it a training facility. It was just the training center. The people that had wrestling training centers, there were some good, some was just garbage, some was taking advantage of people. And I felt like this isn't right. This is not cool. So I see where you guys coming. I think of is structure, right? Okay. Because, and I compare it to basketball and football because they have a structure that's it's woven into the part of our society, you know, from kids, elementary all the way up high school to college. There's this structure that you play and then go into the, if you're good enough, you make it into the pro leagues. I feel like pro wrestling can be that. Do I think it needs to be woven into, it needs to be the same where it's woven into our like school system? No, because it's still, I think it'll be better after high school. Mm-hmm. That's just me, because it's still a I kind of want to say it's kind of like the drama class, right? Mm-hmm. It's called it's not
like an extracurricular,
yeah, extracurricular. It's
yeah,
not a requirement, but you choose it. But mm-hmm. after that, though, I think that could be a structure to do that. The gyms, there's just mm-hmm. I feel, you know.
Well, I kind of want to jump on that, because I think you make a good point about how after high school, you're a more developed just person as a whole, and so it makes you more open to learning and stuff like that. But also, wrestling has historically picked up athletes that may fall through the cracks. You know what I mean? Like, there are a number of like The Rock is a good example of someone who played tons of football. Then when it wasn't quite working out in the CFL, that's when he really starts to go into wrestling. And sometimes you need that as a push. So, like, if you get the guy who was literally, he was going to be the star quarterback in high school, something didn't happen. For some reason, it didn't click. He still has wrestling. You know what I mean? It becomes this, uh-huh. it becomes a way to help. It becomes this other, where, like you said, an extracurricular, but also a way to, a way out of, you know, someone's hometown.
And I also think safety net, yes, but I think going along with that too, thinking back to the high school idea of high school athletes, it's also a great place to learn. For all intents and purposes, we've talked about it so many times. I've heard you guys talk about it, how you look at team sports and how important the product of a team is. Well, that's mm-hmm. great for high school students. You learn how to be a teammate. So yes, wrestling comes after, but you get all of the foundation you need of how to be a team athlete and work as a team from that period.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, I agree. Now here's another thing. Mm-hmm. Kawato, who just made his debut, right? Mm-hmm. Kawato just made his debut back after taking a 2-year excursion to Mexico. Now, Kawato was 18 years old, straight out of high school. He came in, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was his choice to begin straight from the jump. This was the career field. Wrestling is a career field that mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a safety net. It doesn't have to be a second, mm-hmm. you know. So the way that New Japan does their dojo, right? You come in, no matter what age you are, you go through the dojo system. You have to learn respect, build character, and all these things that you're supposed to learn in life, you learn it in the dojo, right? And then one of the things we talked about on the happy hours on Thomas Island was, not everybody gets the same path of teaching, same road. So some guys get sent on the excursion to go to Mexico or England for a couple of years.
Mm.
Some guys don't. Some guys go for 3 months and come back. It all depends on what you need and whoever's in charge, the main guy, sends you off. Now Kawato, coming out of high school, he had no wrestling experience. Went for 2 years and on excursion. For me, I had a year in independent scenes, but I was 27 years old when I came to the dojo. So I've already had life experience. Mm-hmm. So they saw fit to only send me off for 3 months in Mexico and then come back and work. So mm-hmm. there's so many routes here to do that I've learned from New Japan, but what I want to bring to America, because we're so used to a system, right? Mm-hmm. To like a factory made, like there's just stages. What can we do? Do you think the same way that New Japan does their dojo can work in America?
Oh, absolutely. Because like, I feel like what people are very hungry for is training that has some kind of grounding in results. Because they're like, for what I've noticed is that when people want to train and they don't, you know, they will look for like a Lance Storm. They will look for someone where they know that they will learn fundamentals, and that it's harder for that to be on. It's just a harder route because you're looking for one person, and one person can only do so much. Sometimes they can franchise, but that becomes tough. If you have a group like New Japan, where the dojo speaks for it, like the results of the dojo speak for itself. The LA dojo, the results are starting to speak for themselves. You can, that it's a brand that people trust. It's not just about the fact that they know it. It's not just about the fact that they have heard of people that are in New Japan. They trust New Japan to make people. And so if you can have a group that has, as long as you have that trust, I think that's what people, are desperate for in the training world right now, in wrestling training.
And I think to kind of highlight on that, when you look at, you mentioned Lance Storm, Lance Storm is a single person. He does not have a professional wrestling company behind him.
Exactly.
So he feeds to nobody. No school really feeds to a professional wrestling company except for the New Japan Dojo. And when you look at like the WWE Performance Center, nobody really starts, very few people actually start their entire career there, get trained from the bottom up there. Few do, but not many. The dojo system is perfect for that because for the most part, with the few exceptions, one of them being the person in the room right now, most people start with the dojo, but they stay within that organization. They start as in the dojo and they end up on the New Japan roster. So taking that concept to America, I would think that anybody who's training for professional wrestling would jump all over that simply because it gives them an opportunity to step foot in the door of the brand they want to go into and know that if they do everything right and they excel at what they do, that's where they'll end up.
And I got to jump on that feeder thing just because there has never been a better time for a feeder system in North America, because the only company that could really do feeders up until now was WWE. And WWE has the same track record whenever they have a feeder company. They will use, like in the case of Progress, they sign everyone they want from Progress. Eventually the company does what it does. Evolve, you're seeing in the States, they just straight up bought Evolve. And so now it doesn't even exist. It's now just going to be a tape library. And so because they keep killing their children, so to speak, because they keep killing off these feeder systems, there is it's so fertile. It's a wide open space. It's practically a wasteland. You need someone to finally make a system that will be a feeder instead of just a, I don't know how to put it. It was like all of the other developmental territories in North America were set up to fail. If you have one that's set up to actually succeed and produce results, the sky's the limit.
This week's episode of Thomas Island is brought to you by all of our bootleg merchandise. First, we all need to do our part at this time, and one of the easiest ways to do so is by using a face covering when we're in public. If we're going to do so, why not do it in style? We still have Tama Tonga double-layered face masks available for a very limited time at cutt.ly/TamaMask. Now, these washable masks come in a set of three, so you can change up your look every single day. Rep your favorite wrestler and mask up properly. We have less than 20 sets of three available, so again, head to cutt.ly/TamaMask right now. And now, while summer may be coming to an end, those summer vibes just don't have to. We've got exactly what you need at thomasisland.com with the last of our summer collection. From colorful front and back printed tanks to different hats, shirts, pins, and stickers, there is something for everyone and at every budget at thomasisland.com. Merch is shipping now, but quantities are extremely limited. And much like the mythical endless summer, these products will be gone forever. Very, very soon. So head to thomasisland.com for all of your summer gear. Now remember, that's cutt.ly/TamaMask for your masks and thomasisland.com for all of your other merch. Put those orders in today, and now let's get back to the show.
Now, here's my thing. Yeah, our system, you have to try out for WWE, right? Same as in New Japan, you have to try out. And once you get in, once you come in, once you get in, they look after you. They pay you. They now WWE pays you. You have to handle everything else, right? Mm-hmm. New Japan, you come in, you don't get paid much, but here's the thing. You have jobs. You have jobs. You have to wash. You have to clean the dojo. You have to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning and clean the dojo. You have to go clean the training facility. You have to clean the ring. You have to wash people's clothes. You have to cook breakfast, lunch, dinner for all the older guys. That's Makabe, Tanahashi, anybody that comes in to train. You have to make sure that their food is ready. That's so. But and if you want to make some money, the guys, when you're on the road, if you could do a guy's a laundry for that month, right? And he'll pay you $300 to $500 to do his laundry a month or however much you guys he decides to give you. But that's ways to make money if you want to go the extra and do that. Do you think the American guys, with the way they are here in America, can do that?
That's another question, because now you're talking about the culture, because you would need a right. dojo that matches America's culture, so to speak. Yeah, and that exactly. And I think it can. It's one of those things that can be done, but it's going to take a stern hand to, you know, because I think if you try to set up a non-New Japan dojo in the New Japan dojo style, it wouldn't work. But I think as long as you have that New Japan branding, so to speak, people can say, well, you know, this isn't technically an American school. Yes, we're in America. Yes, we're Americans. And yes, we are a part of American culture. But here, we're not just here to learn wrestling. We're here to learn the culture. We're here to learn. And you don't even need to, you don't even need to say you're here to learn Japanese culture. You can just call it like the culture of respect or something, where it becomes about the discipline as well as the training, as well as the nuts and bolts.
Right. So that's my biggest, that's why the New Japan Dojo works. Mm-hmm. That's why that system works. But I always wonder, can it work here? Now I have high hopes. I think it can, because it reminds me of the military style, and I've been to the American. I've lived military. I was in the Air Force. I've been to boot camp, and there is that. But I had to sign up a contract. Mm-hmm. I had to say waive this, waive that. I know. I understand that I am a property, and whatever they say, I will do. So I know it is possible. But see, would anybody be willing to do that?
I want to go to, let's throw it to Steve, because he's got.
Yeah. So initially I was going to say no. And then I thought about, have you guys ever heard of the IMG Academy?
No.
Okay. The IMG Academy is a boarding high school. Okay. Meant for the upper echelon of athletes in America to get final training before going to play college sports.
Gotcha.
They usually send people to Division I basketball, football, etc. They go there. They literally eat, sleep, and breathe. Whatever. Obviously, they get a school education too, but they're really there to train to become an athlete of a high caliber. Yeah. I think it is possible. I think you need to build, much like a school, though, a curriculum, and ensure that there is a well-rounded system to it. Mm-hmm. But the IMG system has proven this is something that works, and it's led to, like, I'm just looking at the list. I mean, you've had professional athletes in the NBA, NFL, MLB, PGA Tour, World Tennis, and hundreds of Olympic athletes. So I think Americans would do it with the right system in place.
The right, and I think the right, if this makes sense, the right alumni. Because part of what makes IMG work is the fact that the results have been speaking for themselves for as long as they have. And I think New Japan is still on the right track for that. Like, because you've obviously said your piece about the LA dojo, but ultimately guys like Carl Fredericks, while they did have a bit of a head start, they have been proving to be a very good first class for that LA dojo. I think that it does make people want to train there and want to, you know, follow in that footsteps. Right. And so I think as long as this place not only has the system in place, but also has the results, I think people will absolutely go for that. And you can always find a good first class. It just requires taking a little bit more time than you'll have to for the rest of the school, you know?
Right. Now, do the kids pay? Do they try out, make it through? How do we make our money?
That's the thing. There is a tryout system. Mm-hmm. I'm just basing the IMG Academy. There is a tryout system, but once you're in, there is tuition.
Yeah. Okay. You see, with Japan, the dojo, you come in, they pay for your food. They pay you, but then they pay for your food. They pay for your quarters. They pay for your training. They pay for everything, right? The catch is that once you make it to the top, they got to be able to make back that money they invested in you. Mm-hmm. So you got to make that back and then make some back, you know, and then some. So, but that's just on a handshake. Mm-hmm. That's just the culture, right? You just understand that you have to. They invested in you. They put money on, you know, in you. You got to make that back. And now they've done it to other people where those people never made it to the top and they quit. Mm-hmm. That's money lost, right? Now there is money lost. It's not everybody doesn't make it through, but the ones that stay in, they understand that money comes back. But they still make a living. They still get their pay, but they have that understanding. But it's... Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's just a common understanding that we invest in you. You stay with us until, you know, until we make our money back. And of course, you'll still make your money and make a living. Do you?
That's a pretty standard entertainment contract in America. I mean, like the music industry for decades was running off the idea that the record label will pay for your hotel, they'll pay for your flight, they'll pay for whatever, but your record sales are going to go back to the company. Your touring sales are going to go back to the company until they make that back. And then once they make that back, then you'll see some money. And so it's not unprecedented in entertainment in America for a larger company to say, yes, we will take care of you. As long as ...
Yeah, it's they come up with the quantity and the value of you, and then they start deducting little by little. And once you get to that point, they usually just take a small percentage, and the rest goes to you.
Yep.
That you think that can run here in America?
Absolutely.
It has. That's what we're saying. It has been for time immemorial. I mean, even on a handshake, that's the old Chess Records deals, where it's like you get a Cadillac, we get the rights to the record.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. And see, you guys are teaching me about the American way. Yeah, that's good stuff.
ASCAP, baby. I've had to keep track on how musicians make their money.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. Shoot. So once those guys make their money back, right? Now let's talk about system, the structure. Okay, you got training facilities. Now we've talked about this on the Patreon. You got the New Japan Dojo, you got the LA Dojo. You already know that I want to build a training facility here in Florida, right? And you got these are waypoints. The way I see it is military. It's military bases all around the world, where the United States military can send wherever they got waypoints. That's why I see these New Japan Dojos training facilities. Now, as we grow, the way I see it, to get these guys to learn different styles, let's say we have a training facility in Mexico, England, over there in Germany, Russia, you know, where South America, South Africa, we send these guys to get their training styles. Can this be a a NFL of the world, a wrestling of the world. Go ahead, Steve. Like, you know, do you see what I'm saying? Like a
You're looking at a rotational program.
A what?
Are you looking at a rotational program where you've got unified and you can send people to each place?
Yes.
So everything, there's a loose umbrella organization over the top, and then every other little one has their own like identity, but you can put people wherever you want under that umbrella.
Okay. Now, can they be under, are they all under one, like let's say I'm going to use this as an example, the football, National Football League, right? Can they be like the wrestling? Can they be under one, or does it need to be? Are they broken up into sections? The American, the national, the. How does that work?
I think you can look at it sort of like the NFL in the sense that each of the 32 NFL teams is a different owner and a different culture, way of life, way of training, playbook, etc. And. Uh-huh. You can move people around. You can trade people. You can send them to different places. But the NFL, at the end of the day, everything trickles up. So I think that analogy works. And, you know, let's say the NFL had teams in England and Canada like they're trying to do. Same rules apply. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's owned by someone over there, but it still falls under the umbrella.
I like it. That's what I want to get into. Can that work? Can that – you see right now that WWE has – they got the UK NXT, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They've got their NXT brand. Do you see their system working? Do you see it not working?
No. I don't see their system working simply because they're not working with companies that they've had relationships with. Like when WWE didn't have a relationship with Progress, they just started a relationship with Progress so that they could be in the UK. And so because there's no familiarity there, because they don't have a history together, it becomes a kind of dog-eat-dog mentality. If you start this and you have the New Japan Dojo, the LA Dojo, you in Florida, those are all people that know each other. They all have a history. They all go back a ways. The next step would have to be CMLL, someone where it's a company that has a history on its own, but it also has a history of cooperation. Because if you don't know if they're going to cooperate or not, it's a risk. If you already know that CMLL works with New Japan and New Japan works with CMLL, there's no reason not to have this satellite office or this satellite dojo or whatever, even if it's just a handshake between two guys in a single area.
I'm going to slightly disagree with Ross in his assessment that the WWE system does not work. I think it is far too early to tell. They only have one outside of America brand right now with the UK. And I think right now, given the world circumstances, I think it's unfair to judge their quote unquote world conquest until it's actually up and running. Once they have whatever their next one's going to be up and moving.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, please.
No, I was going to say, I was going to say that, yes, there is some, because of the unforeseen circumstances of COVID, you can't truly write off the Progress thing. And so I will take that.
But having said that, I think that, I mean, basically what we're talking about is a return in a slight sense to the territories, with the exception of the fact that there's still a defined identity within each one of those regions. Whereas the main through point for all the territories in the NWA days was that the NWA World Champion came through. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're trying to build, or we're trying to look at the idea of having CMLL's kind of its own world, but with an affiliation. The LA Dojo is its own world, but with an affiliation. And, you know, there's meshing and crossing. Florida would be its own thing with affiliation, and people could cross over. I think there's enough difference there that system does work.
Yep. That was why I wanted to focus on the kind of like the cooperation part as opposed to like the expansion, because it's really about making sure that the people you're working with are people that have the same vision, because they don't have to have the same identity. They don't even have to have the same style. They just need
the same identity.
Exactly. Yeah. But they and that's and that I think is a little bit where the NXT system, they need, each brand needed a slightly more of an identity. If you have identities already in place, histories, relationships already in place, it's easier to build that syndicate than it is if you're just literally going, all right, well, now I'm going to this territory, so who's the company I need to talk to in that territory? Now I'm going to this you know what I mean? Because that's that I think that was my larger point.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. See? Now, the way I look at WWE is they're this huge company. They got all this money. And I kind of saw, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I kind of saw what Hunter was trying to do with NXT, right? With NXT UK, they're just trying to build a league. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, the idea with NXT and really with a lot of Hunter's idea, I even asked him about this once. His thing is he wants there to always be something on the network. So like every weekend, whether it's NXT, NXT UK, WWE, Raw, SmackDown, he wants there to always be some kind of content that they can air live. And so because it's always about it's more about churning out product than it is about creating leagues or about creating even like a pipeline, because there is no rule. It doesn't feel like there's a big dedicated way that someone goes from NXT to the main roster. They come to NXT. If they pop, they go to the main roster, or if they show they've been loyal enough for long enough, they go to the main roster. Yeah. But there's no set thing. I'm not saying there has to be, but part of that is due to the fact that it's more about producing content than it is about creating a developmental space.
Okay. So me personally, one of my biggest things when I first started was I didn't like that there was no system. There was no way. You had to you had to dig through the bushes to find something to come up. And everybody has a school here, school there. But a lot of these schools are not they've never turned out anybody. They're not validated. They're not, yeah. You know, nobody's has no names. I felt like they were just stealing money, and you have these young, how do you say, young kids that are very
impressionable. Yeah, they're impressionable.
Yeah. And they would be taken advantage of. So I was 27 when I started wrestling. So I had already been through the military. I was seeing a lot of the world. But to see these 18-year-olds, these 19-year-olds come in and, you know, $300 to $500 is a lot of money for those kids.
Or more.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
Because then you also then you have to factor in the seminar business now, where there's like you have to go to this seminar, or else you don't have a shot at that. You know,
and that bothered me. That bothered me a lot that these trainers would take advantage of these little kids. You know, but I understand that in America, that's the name of the game. You know, you got.
Well, it is and it isn't, because it really depends on the school. Because like this goes back to that trust thing I talked about, where like they have to seek out first a trainer that they trust, and then even if they trust that trainer, it's not necessarily a given that they're going to be put into a system that or even any kind of have any kind of support while they're training. Because like if we go back to the idea of factions being involved in your place in Florida, you then not only have trainers that are teaching them to wrestle, but then you have an entire group of people that they can draw from to talk about how to survive. Because even if someone from your dojo or your boot camp in Florida doesn't make it to New Japan, they should still be able to leave there with the ability to, you know, not to be able to put food on their table. And so if you have instead of it just being, I go to training camp, this one guy tells me how to take a bump and then will tell me some stories that I have to pull lessons from later. If you can literally have a guy who has to, he can talk to all of Chaos. He can talk to all of Bullet Club. He can talk to all of Suzuki Gun about how did you make your way through and actually get the concrete lessons for survival in this business, as opposed to just being thrown into the deep end with the sharks.
And I think alongside with that, we just talked about it. The world right now is all over content. That's content right there.
Yep.
You look at HBO has made billions of dollars off of Hard Knocks, their NFL documentary where they go to training camp every summer and they follow a few rookies and a few veterans for a different team every summer. And they just follow them around and see, you know, how their training camp goes. You could do that with these young boys. You could see how they interact with these factions, how they're learning. And in a time where everybody's looking for new content, everybody's looking for something different and unique, you could provide that and provide them a better way of coming up in the business.
Yep.
I like that.
Because you're also seeing like American Express has that masterclass thing where you pay like a certain amount and Aaron Sorkin teaches you to write screenwriting, all this kind of stuff. And it very much feels like people are hungry for that kind of legitimate content. It's like, I can't remember where I heard it, but there is a market for people who want to see people that are good at their jobs be good at their jobs. Like, because with when I was talking about Hunter constantly wanting content, he wants content to be a live event where a guy has to take a bump. But if you expand the idea of content to literally a rookie interviews Toru Yano and Okada and all of the, that's something I will watch. Even if they're not a great interview, I will watch a rookie stumble over an interview with a New Japan star 10 times more than I will watch, it's something unique, and it's something, and especially if it's someone's actual training, it's a level of honesty you don't get in the wrestling business. And I think it will make people invest in the rookies more if they're knowing their real story. If they're not being thrown a character at the very beginning of their career that they may have to deal with for the rest of their career. If it's literally just like a good example is Yuya Uemura. If he's just Yuya Uemura, and if he's just the person that came into the dojo, that's going to make me invest in him as a rookie more than it would if he was like, if you gave him a name and you gave him a gimmick and you made him be a character before he's ready to be a character.
I like that. I like that. Well, shoot. Hey, hold up, man. I feel like we can go on with this some more, but we have reached our time limit here on the podcast, on Thomas Island Podcast. Guys, I want to dig. I don't even feel like we scratched the surface on this. I feel like we just kind of, just.
This wasn't a deep dive. Dead. This was a shallow pool dip.
Yeah.
we waded into this one.
Yeah. There's so much because we touched on a lot of things on different levels of what it can be. Mm-hmm. But if we take really deep dives on each of those, the subjects that we talked about, I think we can really, really come up with something here that could be of help to the game, to professional wrestling as a whole.
Definitely.
This
is why, because you brought up a very good point about how these young kids are not in a position where they can, you know, they're in a position to sometimes be taken advantage of. And that's, we're seeing a lot of that over the past couple of weeks of people finally having their stories come out. If you could actually deal with that culture, if you can actually deal with it and make it a place where trainees can feel safe, like just think of the stars we lost, the people who gave up on their dreams because they were broken by some small person. If we can get that out of the business, it will rise that tide. All the boats are going to rise. It will really, it makes some good change
for all of us. Huh? Yeah,
exactly.
I agree. Steve doesn't agree, but I agree.
Listen, I'm just here because I want to see good content in the future. And I like talking to you guys. So if you guys ever want me around to continue these conversations, I'm here.
Definitely take another. We'll definitely take a deeper dive into each of these subjects that we talked about, guys. Thank you very much for joining us, Steve. Thank you for joining us, Ross. Thank you for coming in again, man. You guys enjoy the rest of your night, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us here on Thomas Island Podcast. We will get back to you guys. We'll continue this on next weekend. I would like to have you, Steve. I think we need to get deeper on this. You know, you guys, is there an email that they can have any questions? They can reach us, you know, if there's a subject that they can reach us and ask us about what we talked about today.
Yeah, you know what? They can reach us on email at tomatongapatreon@gmail.com.
There you go. Hit us up. If you have any questions, hit us up on that. The subject that we talked about today, or even ideas that you think that could go to expand this, what we're talking about. We're trying to change the world. Truly, truly change the world. I know you heard that term before, truly, the betterment of all of us here moving up together. Guys, thank you very much. Steve, Ross, thank you very much. I'll see you guys next weekend. Next week. Next week. Not next weekend. Next week. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really than gorilla. Ain't nobody really than gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa, you know we bout action. Whoa, you know we not lacking. Whoa, match us not matching. Whoa, jump up on the rope, put my feet up in your face. No, we ain't tapping out. What, y'all ain't put this way. Whoa, gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really. Gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really than gorilla.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.